I'm going to get this mic on eventually, I guess. Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear directly from you. The number is 844-322-2742. And if you have questions or issues you'd like to talk about, well, we cordially invite your call right now. Whether you're listening live or to a delayed broadcast, the number is the same in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, friends, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I was going to start the broadcast with this comment: when life gets messy, chaotic, and confusing. That's the way we started today.
But when life
does get messy, chaotic, and confusing, and certainly a lot of people can relate to that. Mm-hmm. Life is messy right now. Life is chaotic. Life is confusing. Well, what do we do when those types of times we experience? Well, the wise return to the basics.
Yeah.
That's what every time of confusion causes wise people to do. It's like, hey, I want to step back and take a fresh look at the essentials, whether it's in business, whether it's in sports, whether it's in relationships, or whether it's spiritual in nature.
Yeah.
When we're confused, when we're not sure where we stand, we got to take a step back and we got to refocus on the basics of the Christian faith. And a lot of times that means taking a step back and refocusing on the person and work of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul put it this way in his first letter to the Corinthians. This is 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the foundation of our Christian life. It was his work through death, burial, and resurrection that enabled us to be made alive together with him.
Mm-hmm.
So his work in that is the foundation of our entry into new life. And it is Jesus Christ himself living in us who is the foundation of our Christian experience. So he is the door by which we enter, and he is the good shepherd. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the light. He is the way, truth, and the light. He is everything that we need as far as Christianity is concerned. So Jesus Christ is the foundation. So if you're confused in your Christian experience, if it's messy, if it's frustrating, if you feel like it's just a constant struggle, then our encouragement to you is to step back and take a fresh look at Jesus Christ, to strip out all of the other beliefs that you may have had, and say, Lord, I want to know the truth. I want to know the pure, undiluted truth about Jesus. I want to know who he is. I want to know what it means that Christ died for my sins in accordance with scriptures. I want to know what his burial means. I want to know what his resurrection means.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am trusting you, Lord Jesus. I am trusting you, Spirit of God, to take the things of Jesus and make them known to me so that I can have a rock solid foundation underneath me that fuses all the way through me.
Right.
So if you're struggling, let's take a fresh look at Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And we have a wonderful resource that will help you do that this month. It's my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we begin. The foundation of Jesus Christ, who he is, and why we can trust him through thick and thin.
And I'm glad I gave you a little fodder to underscore what you were going to teach right here at the front of the
program.
Yes, indeed. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. It's our way of saying thank you for standing with us and proclaiming this, the fullness of this Lord Jesus Christ every day on Basic Gospel. And if you can help us with a donation, just go to basicgospel.net, a big prominent donate link right there on the homepage, and we would love to hear from you. Love for you to partner with us. Again, basicgospel.net, and be sure to request your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Fayetteville, North Carolina, and talk to our friend Andrew. Hi, Andrew.
Yes, good afternoon, my friends. Good to hear you again.
And hey there.
I really appreciate your service that you all are doing on Sunday. That's a blessing.
Well, thank you.
My Hey, thank you, because my question is, you know, you hear you, and you hear that you are telling the truth. And then I was listening to other programs, but I figured out another guy came on, and these people have big congregations saying that the reason we can do the Ten Commandments now is because we have the Holy Spirit helps us. Then another one comes on talking about, you know, we ask God for anything we want, he'll give it to us because he's a loving God. Then you have another one come on talking about bringing your tithes and offerings to the storehouse, missing grace and truth. Then you have another one coming on talking about you're saved, but then you get an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that's the second. That's what you really, you know, need. So it's so confusing. You're out here, you know what's right. But people are hearing so many different things. And like what I was saying, you and Andre Farley and a guy named Les Felder, because some of the few people who are really giving a message about grace, totally grace and nothing else. So I wonder how you deal with them, you know, those conversations we have with other people, because they hear all these things and they see these things, and, you know, these big ministers and stuff, and they just don't believe what you're saying is accurate.
Mm. Well, you're right, Andrew. I think Christian teaching, and this is not just true of now, but I think for 2,000 years, it's been basically a mixture of law and grace. And I think we don't really understand the nature of sin. We don't understand the nature of our condition apart from Jesus Christ. So we think we're maybe basically good, or that we're not so bad, so that we just need a little bit of help from God. Well, the Bible teaches us that we are dead in trespasses and sins. So that tells us that our condition is pretty grim, and that there's no way out of that condition through human effort. We can't do anything to liberate ourselves from the law of sin and death, from the power of sin and death, from the presence of sin and death. We can't do anything to extricate ourselves from that dilemma. So I think the reason why so many people mix law and grace is because they don't see the real human condition apart from Jesus Christ. But when you see the real condition apart from Jesus Christ, then your mind automatically rejoices at the fact that, hey, God has done something in Jesus to save me. So when you understand your human condition, then the case for grace has already been made. So I think that's one of the big problems. We, a lot of times, and this is the way I looked at it, Andrew, for a good portion of my life, I thought of Christianity as a self-improvement program. So if I would read my Bible, if I would pray, if I would go to church and do some of the things that the Bible told me to do, then I could see improvement in my life over time. So I would have, you know, an upward line of growth. So I was just looking at it as a self-improvement program. Well, God doesn't see Christianity as a self-improvement program. He crucified the old man. He said there's nothing there worth salvaging. So he's crucified the old man, and then he raised us up as new creatures in Christ so that we could live in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ and experience new life altogether. So just as Jesus died, was buried, and was raised back to life, we go through that same process through faith in Christ. We are buried in or baptized into his death, buried with him, and we're raised to walk in the newness of life. So when we understand the nature of humanity apart from Jesus Christ, and we see the story, then that's when we're going to see the real purpose of the law, and we're going to see the real power of the grace of God. We're going to see that the purpose of the law was simply diagnostic. It was educational. It gives us the knowledge of sin. It gives us a clear picture of our condition apart from Jesus. And when we get that, then we can turn to Jesus and experience the power of his shed blood and the power of his raised life that raises us to walk in the newness of life. So we just have to keep pushing that message out there. We just have to keep getting it out to as many people as we possibly can, and pray that God will use it to benefit others, and especially those who are in ministry positions, in positions where they have influence in their teaching ministries. One thing that we do see or have been seeing here of late, Andrew, in the last, say, 10 years or so, more and more voices are being raised up to communicate the purity of the grace of God, not to not dilute it, not mixing it, but really proclaiming it for what it is. And I think that's coming from a lot of people who have realized their mixed messages before just didn't work, for them and didn't work for anybody they were teaching. So they had to take a step back and take a fresh look at Jesus. And in doing so, I think they saw the real message in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection.
Amen. So you all, you said stay the course then.
Stay the course. That's exactly right. Just keep staying the course. Don't be sucked into that. Now, here's the big deal, Andrew. A lot of times people get sucked into teaching a mixed message because it's kind of the prevailing thought. And those folks get sucked in because they want to be a part of that crowd. They want the approval of that crowd. And that's what happened to Peter when he got sucked back into the Judaizers and walked away from the Gentiles. Why? Because he was afraid of them and he wanted to be approved by them. He wanted their pats on the back. So we need to be aware of that and be able to just stand out as individuals and say, hey, I'm teaching the grace of God regardless. I mean, that's what people need. That's the story. That's the message. So I'm going to keep hammering the grace of God as long as I have breath. And I think as you do that, God will give you the resilience, the mental fortitude, and the spiritual strength and courage to keep going forward.
Thank you so much. That's so much. And I appreciate y'all for what y'all have done. You've really been preaching that for years and years and years, and you haven't let anybody sway you. And I thank you for that. Appreciate you, okay?
Well, thank you, Andrew. Thanks for your call today. We certainly appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, Andrew, thanks for staying the course with us here at Basic Gospel. We appreciate hearing from you as always. Bob?
Yes, indeed. Well, we had this question from one of our YouTube viewers. They just posted it, and it is this. Is it a sin to live with your girlfriend? And, you know, there's many people that are doing that today that are living with girlfriends or girls living with their boyfriends. Some are platonic. Some are just roommates. Others are living with their girlfriends for the as if they're married. So they're engaged in premarital sex and that sort of thing. And why would that be a sin? Why would God call that a sin? Well, because there's not a commitment between you and your girlfriend. So you're just leaving her out there in limbo.
Yeah, in limbo.
She doesn't know if you're committed to her or not. She doesn't know if you're going to be with her for the long haul or not. Why? Because you haven't loved her enough to say, hey, I want to marry you.
No security.
I want to be with you for the rest of my life. So you are leaving your girlfriend with absolutely no security, as Bob just mentioned. So that's why it's a sin. And then if you break up with her, now she has the emotional scars, the scar on her psyche for giving herself to you without the commitment. And there's going to be some pain and grief and those sort of things that she will experience as a result of that. So, Javier, if you love your girlfriend, if this is something that is true of you, if you love her, marry her. Make sure she's in Christ. Know that you're in Christ, and then marry her. Don't leave her in that that precarious situation where there's no security underneath her as far as that relationship is concerned. give her security, and that's going to come by saying, hey, I want to make a covenant with you, a covenant of marriage in which we are together, not only now, but as long as we both shall live.
Yeah.
And I think that's just the best thing to do. There's lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of people who are choosing to live together before they get married. I think that can be a mistake. So if you really love her, go ahead and get married.
Well, it is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We still have plenty of time on the clock. If you would like to give us a live call into the studio right now at 844-322-2742, we have a line open for you. Again, 844-322-2742. Bob and I were having a conversation just a little while ago, but I think it's a given that what we're here for is to serve you, our listeners, to offer resources and encouragement that will help you get through the everyday struggles of life. And Bob has recently posted a new video on our Basic Gospel YouTube channel. It's entitled, Why Does God Let Bad Things Happen? Now, most of us have heard that question swirling around this coronavirus issue, and through this video, you're going to learn the truth that our God is far more than just a sideline observer, that he is actively engaged in every moment of our lives. This is just one of the many insightful teaching videos that answer just about any question you might have about the Christian life, and we encourage you to go to our YouTube page, basicgospel.net/YouTube, and you can see all the videos that are posted. As a matter of fact, several of them are posted, the names and links right on the home page at basicgospel.net, just recent videos is the header there, so click any one of those, and wonderful teaching available to you through the videos that Bob Christopher has posted. Bob, we had this question that came in over the weekend. Let's listen.
Yes, I was just calling about the plagues in the book of Exodus. The first plague, it was 7 days. And then after that, it really doesn't tell what the time was for each plague. Was it days, weeks, months? It doesn't really give an answer. If you could give me some insight on that, I would really appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, I think we can give you some help. The first plague, water in the blood, that lasted 7 days. We see that recorded in Exodus chapter 7. And the next couple of plagues we see, it looks like those just happened in a day. Pharaoh pleaded with Moses, hey, you know, make supplication on my behalf. And so he did, and the plague was sent away immediately. We see in Exodus 10, where darkness covered the earth. That was a three-day event. We see that recorded for us in Exodus 10:22. And then if you go forward to Exodus 12, we see the Passover. That lasted a day. So for most of those 10 plagues, they were just a day. You know, it would happen in the morning, and then Pharaoh would rush to Moses and say, please, please, speak to God on our behalf. And sure enough, that's what he did. And so those plagues were sent away by the evening, I think, if I'm reading that correctly. But then these three specific ones, they had a 7 day, a 3 day, and a 1 day time frame, as far as those were concerned.
Yeah, well, we appreciate hearing from all of you, our listeners, and a voicemail is a good way to get to us. If you are not hearing the live broadcast, the number always available, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Dallas, Texas, and talk to Matt. Hi, Matt.
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're doing well. How about you, my friend?
Yes, sir, I'm doing really good. Thanks for asking. My question is your opinion on divorce. I was young and dumb, you know, years back, and kind of spur of the moment, got married, tried to get it annulled, ended up in a divorce very shortly after. We didn't even live together. I guess my question is, you know, am I supposed to never get married again? I mean, I've heard, you know, it's a sin to remarry. What's your guys' opinion on that?
Well, Matt, I mean, how long ago was that? Sounds like a long time ago.
Well, I mean, it wasn't too long ago, but it was a few years ago.
Yeah. Well,
to be honest,
here's the deal, Matt. When the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, asked Jesus a question about divorce. He said, yeah, the law allows for the divorce because of the hardness of the heart. And a certificate of divorce would be written by a man and given to a woman so a woman could retain her status in the community, so she wouldn't be an outcast, so that she could be remarried, and then the man could be remarried. So that's how the law kind of laid it out. Now, Jesus confronted them and said, hey, you're just using that loophole because you want to get rid of your current wife in order to marry this other person. So you're already basically committing adultery in your heart. You're already cheating on your wife by lusting after this other woman and wanting to get rid of your wife in order to be with this woman. So that's what Jesus was getting at when he confronted those Pharisees. And that's what he was talking about in those passages in Matthew. Now, I think in Rome or 1 Corinthians 7, we see some information there that Paul puts out, like for your case, if you get remarried, it's not a sin. So I think, Matt, if you find somebody that is equally yoked with you, that is in Christ, just like you're in Christ, and you build a friendship together based on your relationship with Jesus, you're both depending upon Jesus for your spiritual needs, and you just let that relationship grow as the Lord leads. And if marriage is something that you all want to do, I think you're free to do that. And you don't have to feel guilty about it or wonder about it. Now, some people may judge you for it, but that's their issue, not yours.
Yes, sir. That's a great answer. I really appreciate it.
Okay, Matt. Thanks for your call.
Yeah. Bob, quickly, this question from Sally. Is it correct to say Jesus is the propitiation that propitiates the Father? I've heard that said and want to know if the second part of the statement is actually correct. Thank you, and God bless you for your ministry. That's from Sally.
Well, we see the word propitiation used three different times in the New Testament. In Romans 3, God put forth Jesus as a propitiation for our sins. We see it in the book of Hebrews. We also see it in 1 John, that Jesus not only died for our sins, but he was the propitiation for the sins of the whole world. And so what took place as far as the death of Jesus Christ was concerned was justice was absorbed in that act, and that became a fountain of mercy that could flow out of the blood of Jesus into the lives of people who would receive him. So that's what satisfied God the Father on our behalf, that the sin issue had been dealt with once and for all in Jesus Christ. Justice was served so that now God is both just and the justifier. Mm-hmm. And that justifier comes from the flow of mercy that comes out of the blood of Jesus Christ. And that word propitiation is something that really refers to the mercy seat. So Jesus Christ has become the mercy seat for you and me so that we can receive mercy and be made alive together with Jesus Christ.
Sally, thank you for your question. Thanks for reaching out. And friends, thank you for being with us today. If you have a question overnight, give us a call at 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you. Also, keep in mind that we have this excellent gift for our May donors. It's Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. It's our way of saying thanks for your support of Basic Gospel. Just click donate when you visit basicgospel.net and help us get the word out. It's a message that needs to get out around the world. The clear message of God's love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ that you hear every day right here at Basic Gospel. So once again, make your gift and be sure to request your copy of Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then, friends. Bye-bye.